defending yourself, protecting. The Bible talks about if a man provide not for his own, he's worse than infidel. That goes beyond finances. Amen. Amen. Man won't defend himself, he ain't worth his salt. Man won't defend his family, he's even worth less than that. Amen. Amen. And we got asked about defense in Scotland. I got 300 pounds to my credit. So I don't know, like you being all that big, you're a missionary, you ain't supposed to be that big. Well, praise God, don't nobody mess with me. Amen. Don't nobody mess with my family. Don't nobody mess with my church. They think twice about it. Amen. And they want to talk about them Norse gods. I'll lay Thor's hammer on them. Amen. And so praise God. Amen. So I ought to be spiritual, shouldn't I? All right. It is a joy to be with you. I appreciate you, church, and I appreciate all the good questions this morning. If you got more, see me after church. I believe we'll have a little bit of time afterwards, if maybe while they having that meeting. If y'all got any questions, I'm happy to answer anything you want to know. But we've been there. October 14th will be 5 years. We've been on the field, and my wife told me yesterday. She said, "You ain't even gonna be here to celebrate 5 years on the field." She said, "How you gonna celebrate that?" I said, "Y'all there, and we're one flesh. So that's I'm there." And they are they're on the field, and they enabled us able to keep an eye on things. She ain't preaching, but they're meeting. Brother David Sellers handling things while I'm away. I thank God for a faithful man that's willing to submit to his pastor, submit to authority, and learn. Amen. And then be able to teach others also. And we're running right now. We've got about three, Brother David Sellers, and then there's the McGlynns, Brother Colin, Miss Fiona. They come faithfully, and thank God for the ones who come faithfully. We've started recently having, on Tuesday nights, we've had a family. Now, it's uncommon. You don't see a family there more than just two or three kids at the most, usually two. Is where they stop, but there's a family near us. They've got 13 kids. And so the kids have started coming. Mom and Daddy won't come, but they'll let kids come on Tuesday night. And Tuesday night's been our midweek service. And so we've had to call an audible and change up some things because these kids know nothing. My Savannah is 11. Little Savannah's 11. And she'll go out and play with them. She come in after playing with them a few weeks. She said, "I need my Bible." I said, "Where are you going with your Bible?" She said, "These folks don't believe in God." She said, "I'm going to show them what the Bible says." And so I appreciate it. It's because of Savannah that they've started coming. So, I told her, I said, God don't care how old you are. God will use you. And I thank God she wants to be used. And then Autumn's 18, she'll be 19, man alive, she'll be 19 come January. And she's graduated high school, and God's using her. She plays piano, and time to time she'll let her mama play the piano, and she'll play the guitar, and Lord's blessed her with a music ability. I brought home an old cello I bought at an auction, paid £20 for it. I brought it home before the day was out. She was playing recognizable hymns, and you could understand what she was playing. Never had a lesson, never touched it. God just blessed her, and so I'm excited to see how God uses her. And I want to keep her around as long as I can. Amen. I know there's coming a day. Some fella's going to come and snatch her up. I told some fellas the other day, they said, she's going to get married and leave. I said, well, I'm hoping God will give her somebody that will have a burden for Scotland. They'll come back. They said, the problem with that, they're going to live at your house. I said, I'm okay with that. I'm okay. That don't bother me one bit because I got a plan. I'm going to let them pay the rent because they need to learn some responsibility. And I'm going to sit around on their furniture and eat their groceries and live in their house. So I'm going to live with them. And so, ain't none of this living with me. I'll abide by their rules. I'm okay with all that. So teach them some responsibility and let me be there and milk off them. Amen. Ain't no sense in waiting until you're 60, 70, 80, 90 years old and enjoying the benefit of your kids. I want to do it into my 40s. So, amen. But Jay, little Jay, he's six. I left on his sixth birthday. I left to come stateside. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do. But he just is content. But he takes our offering for us and prays for us. And you can tell he's a preacher's kid. When he passes that offering plate, he'll go and he'll stand there. And if they don't give anything, he stares at them. And he just stands there. A lot of times I'll have to say, all right, Jay, they ain't going to give nothing. Just go on. So if they ain't going to give anything, I'll call them out. If they can't handle his begging, and he'll beg, amen, then we'll call them out. But he's a blessing. I'm trying to teach my kids to serve. I want to teach my youngins to serve. So they're involved in the ministry. They're as much a part of the ministry as I am. My wife, man alive, used to talk about their unsung heroes. I had to do something this week I hadn't had to do in 25 years. I had to iron a shirt. Not because I don't want to iron a shirt or I can't iron a shirt, but my wife irons my shirts and she takes that time and prays for me. Some small things that seem insignificant sometimes. Well, it means the world to me. Talked to her this morning. Since she don't drive, our folks, we've put services on hold, but our folks are going over to the house to make sure she's able to be a part of the services. So they having church at the house, they just gathered. It's gathered around the kitchen table, breaking open the Word of God. That's because of y'all. Y'all have enabled us to be there and that happened. So thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Y'all pray for us. We're coming up. Government regulations and rules, and I don't like them no more than anybody else. But we have to pay for our visas. We're on our final one. Thank God we don't have to give them no more money. We've given them so far, we've given them about $40,000 just to live on the field. We've got to give them another $18,000 coming up when I get back. And once that's done, we'll have our permanent residency. And at this point, we don't have to give another dime. Thank God. But y'all pray, if you will, make that a matter of prayer. We got about a third of it in the bank. Just trust God. God will send the rest in from where He wants to. We've seen God do some unusual things. I ain't got time to go into all that. But God can do what He wants to do, how He wants to do it. But if you'll pray for that, sure would appreciate it. Dumfries is about 25,000. Somebody asked what size town it was Sunday school, and I don't think I answered that. It's about 25,000 in the town. It's not a city, it's a town. You got to have a cathedral there, so there's that Catholic influence. You got to have a cathedral to be a city in the UK. But we're a town, decent-sized town. This COVID has hit everybody, and I don't want to make everything about the COVID. You hear enough about it just like I do. But it's affected our town. Businesses are closing. Shops are closing up. And you walk through town now, and it's like a ghost town. But help us pray. This LGBTQ, R, whatever, all the letters they're adding, and they put a plus at the end now, saying yes, that way they can add bestiality when that comes around, and pedophiles when that comes around. They say just plus now. They're inclusive of all of it. They're buying up property in our town. Now, we tried to rent a building, and landlord gave us a good rate. It was going to be right there in the town center. And I figured, man, what better place to have a church right in the center of everything? Tried to rent a building, and the council wouldn't give us planning permission to change it from a shop to a church, but they don't mind LGBT buying up properties. They do whatever they want to with it. The council flies that false rainbow flag over their buildings, and they'll hang the banners up in town, and they do all that. And I asked them, I said, when y'all going to promote some godliness? I said, you promote all this instead of just being a government and governing people. I said, you busy promoting this. Can we get the Baptist flag? Can we get a Christian flag flying? I said, can we do that? Can we promote our church activities? Y'all going to pay for that? Yes. Well, we can't do all that. I said, why not? I said, it's discrimination. I said, if you don't do it for us and you do it for them, it's discrimination. And anyway, I just, you know, I get more trouble running my mouth. If you follow me on social media at all, you have seen that through the years. I'm not good. Brother Allen has seen it. He's raising his hand back there. He said, I know. But I just, you know, some things just simple. It don't need a whole lot of explaining. And I don't understand and never will understand how they can so readily take my tax dollars and promote ungodliness, but the minute I want them to promote a revival service, promote a meeting, no, we can't do that. It's double standard, my friend. It's a double standard. And if they just get back, if they just govern people, I wouldn't give them no problems and quit promoting ungodliness. But that's where we're at. That's where we're at. So you pray for us, and we just want to serve. I told them this morning, I just want to be found faithful. And if God wants me to pastor three, praise God. I'm happy to be there in pastor three, but I believe God wants us there for more than that. And you pray we'll see souls saved. Got several that I'm dealing with right now, trying to lead to the Lord. Some of them, I preached a missions conference over in Goshen, Ohio this past week, and we had some of them that I've been witnessing to that finally let me talk to them. They tuned in and they listened to the missions conference, and one of them messaged me, said, I want to hear more about this mission stuff and when you get back. So you pray that God will give us an open door there. But amen. Just, we need your prayers. That's what we need. We need your prayers. More than anything else, need your prayers. Preacher mentioned Brother Blue. I told my wife, Brother Blue's like a daddy to me. Yeah. Like probably to a lot of us he was. And told my wife, I said, preaching this missions revival that I was in, I said, everything I know about missions from Scripture, I learned from Brother Blue. Because she said, what you going to preach? I said, I'm going to preach Brother Blue's stuff. I said, he ain't preaching it. I won't use it. And what memories. Brother Blue's one that got us together. He brought me over here. I thank God for his ministry. He being dead, yet speaketh. And thank God for his fruit. But I do appreciate you, church. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. While you're finding your place, we'll go to the Lord for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we stand in a place this morning where we're not able, wouldn't dare try to stand on our own. Lord, I need you. More than life itself, I need you. God, that you would touch me. Help me. Speak through me, Lord, I pray. God, I pray that you'd help us, help your people. God, do a work that we can't do, but only you can. I pray that you'd be lifted up, that you'd be honored and glorified through the preaching. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll read the entire chapter to get to the end of the chapter where we want to focus, but I want to read the entire context, because context is key. Amen. This know also, that in the last days, we're in chapter 3, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Did you read that? Disobedient to parents. That says a lot about our problems today. That's why they got a problem with authority outside of the home, because they're disobedient to parents. Unthankful. That's why they're defunding the police. They ain't thankful for the protections. Amen. I'm going to try not to be political this morning, but ain't nothing wrong with being a little bit political. Am I all right, preacher? Unholy, without natural affection. That's why they're killing their babies. That's why they're leaving their babies. That's why they're leaving their homes. They're without natural affection. A dog has more affection than what many mothers, if you can call them that, are showing in this day and time. Truce breakers. Almost read that Joe Biden. Truce breakers. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, edgy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Can I stop right here and say high gas prices are not persecution for you living godly? Amen. Amen. Flat tires are not persecution. Amen. Your procrastination a lot of time. My procrastination while we got flat tires. But anyway. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I want to preach this morning on, would you please continue? Would you please just continue? As I peruse social media and I look at the current state of many of our independent Baptist churches, what I see is I see a lot who have decided they're not going to continue. They line up more with the first part of this chapter than they do the latter part of this chapter. They've traded in truth for something that's unrecognizable to most Christians. I'm talking about born again, saved folks don't recognize what's coming in churches in this day and age. And when they do recognize it, it's reminiscent of clubs and honky-tonks and places that you went before you got saved. Church ought not be that way. Amen. He said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So I want to look at some things that I believe we ought to continue in, we ought to stay in, we ought to keep going in. Amen. He points back to verse number 10. He said, continue in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Well, verse 10, he tells us about what we know about him. He tells us what we know about the Apostle Paul. He said, but thou hast fully known, verse 10, my doctrine. You need to continue in your stand, amen? I have seen so many churches, what claim to be churches, what have claimed to be independent, fundamental, premillennial Baptist churches, change in their doctrine. I have lost, this year I've lost three supporting churches because their doctrine changed. Not because they dropped me, but because I dropped them. I believe a missionary ought to take for support from those he doctrinally aligns with. I'm not interested in getting the money. I'm not interested in getting funds from somebody who's got their doctrine wrong. I'm not talking about disagreement on facial hair. You know where I stand on that, amen. I'm talking about doctrine. I'm talking about doctrine. What saith the Word of God? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach? I like what Brother Hewitt says. Tell me what the book says, amen. That's what I'm interested in. Continue in your doctrine. So many have changed their colors. They've changed their beliefs. No surprise when they change their sign. I'm glad when they do, because I don't identify with that crowd. They don't identify with us. And it's time they change their sign and tell what they are. Around our place, they'll say, I don't like labels. So I went and bought me a can of dog food and a can of beans. I took the labels off. I said, since you don't mind labels, you don't like labels, let's dig into one of these. Whatever's in it, we're going to eat. Nobody has taken me up on it. Hey, when I tell you that I'm a Baptist, I'm not telling you my denomination. I'm telling you my doctrine. My doctrine is Baptist. I've heard it said, I've said it before, that I'm not preaching Baptist doctrine. Oh, but friend, the truth is, that's exactly what I'm preaching. I'm preaching Baptist doctrine. This book makes us a Baptist. This Bible makes us a Baptist. So when I tell you I'm a Baptist, I'm telling you what my doctrine is. My doctrine is this of the Word of God. Around where we're at, we deal with a lot of Protestants. If we don't deal with Catholic, we deal with Protestants. You know what somebody's telling you when they want to talk about denomination? Now, we use a different currency in the UK. We use the British pound sterling. But I've got some American money. Thank God I ain't had this much money in my pocket in a while. Hey, it comes and goes. I got $60 in my pocket. Thank God for that. But you know what this is? This currency is the U.S. dollar, USD. So that's its identity. Its denomination is, this is a 50 and this is a 10. When somebody tells you their denomination, what they're really telling you is they're telling you what brand of Catholic they are. That's where they come from. They protested the Catholics. That's right. They was protesting a corrupt and a false doctrine. Yeah, they got some things right. Thank God for that. Thank God for where they fixed some things. But they're telling you, when they say, I'm an Anglican, that's what denomination of Catholic they are. When they tell you I'm a Presbyterian, that's their denomination of Catholic. When they tell you their denomination, they're telling you their belief. They're telling you their doctrine. They're only telling you, though, what denomination of the Catholic faith they believe in and pledge allegiance to. So when I tell you I'm a Baptist, I'm telling you what my doctrine is, that I've never been part of the Catholic Church. Our beliefs have never been part of the Catholic Church, but we can instead trace our doctrine back to the apostles, back to Christ Himself. Amen. Are you with me? Am I right here? Hey, you need to continue in that stand. Amen. Keep going the way we're going. Our doctrine needs us to continue. Our doctrine causes us to continue. Keep going in the way we're going. Don't dip our colors. We're not ecumenical. We're not joining up with the things of the world and all of these Catholic denominations. We're not joining with them. There's a difference in our doctrine. Our doctrine causes us to stand where we stand. Would you please continue? I'm tired of seeing churches change. Preacher, I see it more and more. I'm sure y'all see. I only get, you know how it is, social media, they only put on there what they want you to see. Y'all see it more than I do. Churches giving up on their doctrine. Change, well, you know, we got to draw a crowd. Last time I was in the States, for any length of time, was down in Louisiana. Somebody hit an old hog. First day we passed by, it wasn't even no flies by it. I told Ginger, I said, that's fresh. And she knows me well enough, she knows what I was thinking. I'd already planned a smoker and everything. It didn't have flies, we all right. She talked me out of it. She wasn't real keen on that. Day or two later, we passed by and it had flies and maggots. And it had doubled in size down in that Louisiana heat. A couple days later, it doubled in size again. Now, some would say, look at the growth. It's busting at the seams. That ain't growth. That's death and decay. That's destruction. Amen? That's corruption. You know what you see in these churches? They didn't change the truth. They didn't change their doctrine. And it usually starts before the doctrine gets changed. That music gets changed. They change that music and it sounds like stuff that my siblings used to listen to in the 70s and 80s. And it's got this soothing sound, this melodic tune to it that's foreign to the children of God. Amen? It's soothing. It's comforting, but it's comforting to the flesh. It's feeding the flesh. And they'll change that, and the progression usually goes right after they change that. Then they'll, for whatever reason, they'll either paint their ceiling black or tear the ceiling out so you can see all the conduit and the ductwork. And they for some reason, they think that's hip and that's cool. They'll paint the walls a dark color, and then they get the mood lights and set a central atmosphere. You hear me? And then all of a sudden, well, I just ain't real sure. If that King James Bible's a word of God or not. Just ain't sure. And they change. And oh, they'll draw a crowd and they'll fill out and they're busting at the seams, but remember what that is. It's the same thing. It's the same as that old dead pig on the side of the road. God help us to continue in our doctrine. Let our doctrine be sound. Let our doctrine be secure. Let our doctrine be right and continue in our doctrine. He goes on and he said, you've known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith. He said, you know how I've served God. Can I say, let's continue. Would you please continue in your service? Not just in your stand, but in your service. I mentioned my social media. And if you know me and any, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that likes a good fight more than me. I like it. When I was in school, I got in trouble more for fighting than I did anything else. I like a fight. I like the activity that goes, the rush, the adrenaline. I like it, whether it's a verbal fight or a physical fight. Forgive me, but it's just, I don't know how I'll say it. I'm kind of made up that way. I like it. Part of the reason I got married was so I could fight. Because I knew a mother-in-law come in the package. Amen? Hey, built in. Somebody to fight with. I like to fight. But the older I get, the more I've learned, hey, some things ain't worth fighting over. Hey, I'm to the point, I don't want to fight anymore for the sake of fighting. But there's some things, neighbor, it's worth fighting over. It's worth, and if you're going to stand for truth, if you're going to stand for right, if you're going to stand on doctrine, you're going to have to fight some battles. But he brings them around. He said, you've known my service. You've known how I've served God. Fighting ain't always serving God. Sometimes it's just sticking your head down, minding the road that God's got you plowing. and plow ahead. I think about Nehemiah. As working on that wall, preacher, there's a lot of distraction. Now, they had a tool, but what else they have? They had a sword. They had a mind to work, but they had a readiness to fight. It'd do us good to get a mind to just work. But when we need to fight, somebody stand up and fight, amen. The wall would have never got built if it's fighting all the time. The service that's required of you may not be fighting, but it is building the wall. Amen. We've all got a place. We've all got a job to do in this work of God. I've seen too many in this past year during 2020, 2021. I can't tell you the number of missionaries who have gone off the field. Folks are leaving by droves. And I can't tell you, look, I'm trying to study to be quiet and do my own work, do what I'm supposed to do. I'm working on that. But I don't understand how God suddenly changes his mind. I know God moves, folks. I understand all that. Man, it seems like so many just easily quit, and I hear pastors on a regular basis quitting, and I know it's hard. I pastored two churches in the States. I understand some of that. I can remember those days, and I know it's difficult. I've been in the same place you all are. I've sat on a church pew before I was a pastor. Amen. Before I was a missionary, I sat on a church pew, and I listened, and I know sometimes it gets frustrating. Amen. Just well, be honest. We all, preacher, was it not as a church member, did you not find places where it's frustrating?
Sure, absolutely.
We know it. We know you get frustrated. But quitting ain't the answer. Giving in ain't the answer. I told you I like fighting. I have never seen a fighter. I like to watch boxing. I have never seen a fighter throw in the towel. Never. Because he ain't got the towel. It ain't your job to throw in the towel. I'm quitting. I'm going to throw in the towel. That ain't your place. You ain't got that right. Stay faithful where you are. Continue in your service. Continue in the work that God's got you doing. Continue in your stand. This right here, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to preach to myself just for a minute. If you get any help, then praise God. He told them in verse 10, he said, you've known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith. And he goes on, my long suffering, my charity, patience, he says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. He didn't enjoy them. He endured them. He said, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. When you've been delivered from something, one thing I've found, when you've been delivered from something, you're sympathetic towards others who hadn't been delivered yet.
That's good.
Could I ask you, would you please continue in sympathy? Had a man the other day, we had a meal at the church, and he found out, was talking, he found out I liked homemade ice creams. He went and made, he got some homemade ice cream. Boy, it was good. Cherry, homemade cherry ice cream. Had the whole cherry in it. That's good stuff. And I like ice cream. You tell, I ain't turned away a whole lot of food. I like to eat, amen. And I got a sweet tooth the size of Alaska, amen. I like it. That's my downfall. I like them sweets. But you know what? As much as I like ice cream, brother, I don't like it thrown in my face. Amen? You know there's folks God will let you and I come across. They may be interested in this, but they ain't interested in being thrown in the face. What you and I got, I say you and I told you, this is preaching to me right here. What I got to learn, what I got to do is learn to bring somebody along. Gently show them. This is what the Bible says. Let me show you what Scripture says. When we started the church there, in Dumfries. I had a sodomite come to one of the meetings. And he was over the community center decision whether they was going to let us have the place or not. And he said, "I got one question and I'll leave you alone." He said, "How are you going to preach about the LGBTQ? I said, "That's a good question." So I took him to the book. And I took him and I said, "Well, we need to establish some things." So I took him over there where God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. I took him to Romans and showed him what the Bible had to say about it. I said, "Whether you like it or not, that's what I'll preach." He said, "So you're going to preach your opinion?" I said, "That's what I'm going to preach." He said, "I wouldn't respect you if you did anything different." He said, "How can you say you believe that and not preach it?" He said, "But if you ain't preaching your opinion, I don't have a problem with you." That's a lost sodomite. Amen. Didn't have a problem with it. But I took him to the book. I didn't shout at him. I didn't fuss with him. I can go to town today, and I hope this don't upset any of you, but if I was in town today and I seen him, he's going to come up and hug my neck and say, "Preacher, thank you. Would you pray for me? Thank you for loving me." He ain't saved, but he knows I love him. Amen. Show some sympathy. I wouldn't know what it is to have the feelings and the whatever else he deals with. I ain't got a clue, but I got sin in my life that I've had to deal with. Amen. And so folks had every right, preachers had every right to come and throw it in my face. "How dare you, you ought not," and give it to me. And they had every right. But I sure am thankful for those that come along and said, "Brother Jody, let me help you here." Brother Blue did that a lot. Brother Blue would do that a lot. I'd say something foolish. I'd get up, say something, trying to be clever. Brother Blue would say, don't you ever. But don't do that again. And he is kind. If you know Brother Blue, he was kind about it, but he was firm. And he helped me. He didn't jump all on me. Boy, he made more of an impact in my life probably than any other man I know. But I could think to some men who jumped on me and crawled my case. My opinion of them, something completely different than what it is of men like Brother Blue. The Bible talks about that we're to have a good report of them which are without. It's one thing, we come in here and we're in agreement on most things. And it's easy to get in here and we have a good time and praise God for it. But what do they think of us? Amen. I ain't trying to meddle. I'm trying to look. Again, that was for me. Why do we need to continue in our stand, continue in our service, continue to have sympathy? He answers that in verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." You know why? We got the scriptures. That's where we get our stand from. That's where we learn about service from. That's where we ought to learn some sympathy from. We kind of give kids a hard time when they want to quote John 11:35, but I'm thankful John 11:35 is in there. I'm glad Jesus wept. I'm glad he shows humanity and sympathy and heartache, amen. I'm glad he showed it. What a lesson to learn from those two small words that carry so much power, that Jesus, God in the flesh, wept. Boy, he's heartbroken over what he saw. He's heartbroken over what was there. Scripture causes us to stand. Scripture causes us to take the positions that we take. Without this, hey, we're just wondering and we're just walking about with opinion, but I'm glad it ain't our opinion that we're promoting. I'm glad we've got the Word of God. I'm glad that we've got the Holy Scriptures. Hey, he said that they're able to make thee, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So why continue? Because it's sound to do so. It's sound. In a world that's ever changing, and they can't figure out what's a man and what's a woman. Can I meddle a little bit? I think I'm okay. You know whose fault that is? You know why they can't decide what's a man and what's a woman? It's the church's fault. So how's that happen? Well, we threw modesty out the window a long time ago. Women quit wearing dresses. They put on man's garments and we's okay with it. Huh? Now we want to harp on them coming, men going into the ladies' restroom and them being cross-dressers and everything else. Well, the average Baptist woman's been a cross-dresser for a long time. That ain't popular, but it's right. Amen. We've changed. And so as we've changed, the world takes a little bit further than we do. So it's important that we keep our doctrine sound, we keep our position sound, and it's stable. That it's stable. What they believed 50 years ago, hey, we ought to still be believing it today. As long as it lines up with Scripture. I know some things was taught and preached 50 years ago that ain't right, but there's some things that's taught today that in 50 years ago they'll realize, hey, that wasn't just right, we need to fix that. And there's always correction and nothing wrong with that. As long as it's with Scripture. But we lost the argument on confusion on the sexes. We lost that 20, 30 years ago. Now they got women standing up in pulpits. And I ain't talking about the Southern Baptists. You watch this new IFB crowd. Their women are spending more time behind the pulpit than their men are. And I ain't against women. I thank God for women. I was birthed of a woman. I'm married to a woman. Got 7 sisters. 2 daughters, amen. I got a mother-in-law, and I really do love her. I got sister-in-laws aplenty, amen. Thank God for the women in my life, amen. I wouldn't be who I am without the women in my life. Thank God for them. Hey, if it wasn't for the women, I might not be soft at all. Women softened me some, Brother Allen. Thank God for the women in my life, but they've got a place. Men have got a place. And it ain't so much that the women wanted a place, it's the men didn't want a place. Somebody had to lead. Somebody had to stand. So it ain't the women's fault as much as it is the men. Amen. Amen. I don't know what y'all was looking for a missionary this morning, but I just know this is what I felt like I need to preach. Need to stand. Need to continue because it's sound to do so. We ought to continue just because we're saved. He said, the Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. There's some things that I didn't have to be preached to about. I'm glad somebody did. But when I got saved, nobody had to tell me I didn't need to cuss no more. I was out on the football field, and I missed a block that I was supposed to make. The quarterback got sacked, and you know what I said? I can't say in church. Amen. And as soon as I said it, the Holy Ghost. There ain't a charismatic bone in my body. And I hope you ain't afraid of that word, that person of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost convicted me. There wasn't a preacher around. There wasn't a man of God around. There wasn't a church member around. The folks I was playing football, they'd heard me talk that way before. They wasn't surprised. But the Holy Ghost. Said, don't you say that again. And I said, I'm sorry. Now, when I said I'm sorry, that's when they began, who are you talking to? What are you sorry for? I said, I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said what? That cuss word. They some things that just because you're saved ought to cause you to take a stand and cause you to continue into some things. I tell you, for years, it's troubled me. You got to prod and poke and pull to get folks that say they're saved to show up for church. I ain't talking about extenuating circumstances. I ain't talking about they sick and they can't make it. I ain't even talking about they're working a job that needs them. I thank God that the police and the fire and I'm glad they work on Sundays. Amen. But if you can be at the house of God, why wouldn't you? I may have told y'all this before, but I learned faithfulness from an old deacon at our church. He had the rottenest attitude of anybody I've ever known, but I learned faithfulness from him. He'd come in. Is that me? Am I making too much racket? He'd come in. Didn't matter the service. He'd come in every service with a bad back, and he'd hold on to the pews, and he'd work his way, dragging that leg, and he'd sit up here. And we didn't have fine padded pews. I grew up in a country church. We had the old slapboard pews. Some of y'all remember what I'm talking about. And they had splinters in them, and if it didn't poke you, it'd pinch you. And folks were shouting, but it wasn't because Jesus was helping always. It was, he would sit every service. He sat right up here. And he'd sit here. He'd arch his back because he's hurting. He'd say, "Amen, preacher, preach to me. I need you to help me." By the end of the service, he's down here hurting. "Preacher, you helping me?" He'd say, "Oh," you'd hear him moaning. And it wasn't because God was helping him, it's because his back was hurting him. He'd say, "Oh, preacher, help me. I need you preaching. Please preach to me, preacher." Amen. And he was faithful. Every service we had, that man was there. If they was washing windows, he was there. I learned faithfulness watching that man. We need some more of that. We need some more of that. We live in a day, we look for excuses. "Well, I can't come. I can't come. I might get sick." A tree might fall on your house, but you sleep in your bed at night. Amen. Instead of looking for reasons not to come, how about you look for a reason to come? Preacher, is there anything? Can I come by a preacher and make sure ain't no cigarette butts in the yard? Amen. Can I come by and just make sure the grass don't need cut, weeded? Preacher, can I come by and just make sure all the lights is working before we get there on Sunday? Preacher, is there anything I look for a reason? Amen. Salvation ought to cause you to do some of that. I fell in love with a lot of things through the years, but the moment I got saved, I fell in love with the church. Amen. You ought to continue. Not just because it's sound, not just because you're saved. Look with me in verse 16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You know that doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness is? You know what that'll do? That'll strengthen you. My daddy used to tear me out of the frame. Because I told you, I know what my biggest problem has been. My biggest problem's always been my mouth and my attitude, and I know that. And my daddy used to tear me out of the frame. I'm talking about, he's a big man. He's 89 years old, and he's still a big man. But that correction, that reproof, that teaching, and that's what doctrine is. It's teaching. All of that he instilled in me, strengthened me. Child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know why? Because there's no instruction, there's no correction, and it's a weak-minded child that's left to themselves. But instruction, guidance, correction, teaching of truth, it'll strengthen you, help you to have a strong mind, have you a strong body, amen. It'll help you. You know why you need to continue? You need to be strengthened. You need to be stronger than what you were last year. I ain't talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Your spiritual man ought to be stronger today than it was 3 weeks ago. Are you growing in the Lord? If you're not growing in the Lord, it's because you've ceased to continue. Continue is not, well, I've done my job and I'm going to sit down. Continue is, I'm going to keep going. You're into that bushcraft and all. And I know folks can't tell it, but I walk a lot. I walk, when I'm home, I walk 6-7 miles a day. And thank God I'm able to do that. But in that bushcraft, I'd say there's moments in feet and ankles, in knees, that low back gets to hurting, and you want to quit. But if you quit, you're going to die. You got to continue. Continue is, I'm going to keep going when I don't feel like going. I'm going to keep going when I don't want to go. I'm going to keep going when I don't feel like I can go. Amen? Continue in these things. The world's going to come against you. Unfortunately, folks who claim the name of Christ are going to come against you in this day. You need to purpose and decide in your heart that by the grace of God, by the goodness of God, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to continue. As a missionary on the field, because I'm going back 26 October, Lord willing, if not sooner. Could I ask you, please continue? We need the churches in America to stay strong, to stay right. Amen. I need to be able, when my kids get married, if they marry an American and they move back, I need to be able to say, hey, here's a good church for you to go to. Here's a church that ain't quit standing. Here's a church that ain't quit serving God. Here's a church that ain't gave up on sympathy. Here's a church you can trust. Because they're getting harder and harder to find. They're getting spread out more and more. And there's ever changing. But you know what don't change? Truth. Thank God for a constant in our day. Will you be constant in your stand? Will you be constant in your service? And will you be constant in your sympathy? Let's pray and I'll turn it back to the preacher. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to stand and preach the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll take it, use it, bless it as you see fit. Lord, help us, Lord, to determine. Help me. Oh, God, help me not to change on my stand. Help me not to change on my doctrine. Help me not to change in my service. And Lord, help me to be sympathetic towards others. Oh, God, would you work in my heart? Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.